Hello, and welcome to the debut episode of the DVD Marquee on HTF Radio, sponsored by the Home Theater Forum in collaboration with iCraveDVD.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Jeffrey Rosato, and I want to thank you so much for joining us for what I hope will be, to paraphrase the words of Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, a long and happy and enjoyable friendship. Right now, I would like to introduce to you my co-host, coming to us all the way from the northern part of Ontario, Canada. He has a website called I Crave DVD that we'll be talking about a little bit later on. And he also does weekly DVD reviews for CKFX Fox, better known as The Fox in Ontario, Canada, every Tuesday morning. Please make welcome to Podcastingville, the one, the only, Shane McDonald.
Hey, everybody.
Shane, it's great to be working with you. We have known each other for about the better part of a couple of months, and originally I was going to be a writer for Shane's website, and then we started talking about podcasting, and one thing led to another, and here we are.
Yeah, we've been laying the groundwork for about 2 months. We've had to postpone it a couple of times, but now here we are, and we're ready to rock.
And today, I thought that since we were at the start of a new year, basically we're recording this the first week of January in 2006, I thought we'd take an opportunity to go over our top five DVDs of the year, kind of get our toes in the water, kind of experiment a little bit, kind of get the repartee thing going on, and see how it all works out. So, Shane, I'm going to turn it over to you. Your number five DVD is
The Incredible Special Edition.
Now, what stood out for you as far as that two-disc package?
Well, I've been a huge fan of animation my whole life. That hasn't stopped me from enjoying every animated movie that comes across, and The Incredibles is no exception. This two-disc edition is fantastic. The audio, the video are pristine. One thing that Pixar has become known for is including a new short that they create specifically for the releases, and in this instance, they show us how Jack-Jack first discovers his powers and Jack-Jack attacks.
Yeah, I've seen that. Matter of fact, last night, I just happened to be at a friend's house that has 42-inch Panasonic widescreen, you know, all the bells and whistles, and just the clarity on that movie is just absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, just what a way to go out. And I think is it the last Pixar film that Disney has gotten a hold of from that company?
No, they have one more. It's coming out next year, and that'll be, or this year, I should say, seeing we are now in 2006, would be Cars.
Yeah, the trailer's on the beginning of it. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah,
that looks really good, too. I'm looking forward to that. I have not had a chance. I have to be honest. I don't want to be Mr. Fakery here. I haven't had a chance to see the DVD version, but just I've heard nothing but just best, and I think that's an excellent choice for your number five disc of the year.
Sure is. What about yours? What's your number five, Jeff?
Well, my pick for the number five DVD of 2005 is one of the greatest rock and roll documentaries to come along the pike in a long time, and that's Bob Dylan's No Direction Home.
Now, what stands out for this DVD for you, Jeff?
What makes it stand out for me, Shane, is because Bob Dylan has always been kind of a reclusive figure, and whenever, you know, he's done interviews in the past, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, you know, you can barely understand him. I don't know what happened, who talked to him, I don't know if it was an image consultant or whatever. He agreed to talk about his career in front of a camera for the first time in 2001, and it was I think it was done by people in his company that wanted to just kind of have it something for the archives, you know. And then Martin Scorsese got involved. Who better to do a rock and roll documentary than Martin Scorsese? Because, you know, he's only the guy that did The Last Waltz, which is probably one of the best concert films out there. No Direction Home takes a look at his career from his adolescence all the way through 1966, in which, I don't know if you're familiar with Dylan like I am, but he had this really horrific motorcycle accident and nearly, you know, got himself killed. And from that point on, you know, a lot of people, you know, there's been a big debate, you know, has he ever been the same musically, blah, blah, blah. But the period that this movie covers, just, you know, he went from, like, you know, folky to political activist, electric folk rocker. the thing I love about Bob Dylan is that he's always followed his own beat. He's always marched to his own drummer. There's a segment in the movie where, you know, they wanted him to be, you know, the activist guy. You know, they wanted him to keep writing songs like, you know, Blowing in the Wind and Masters of War. And he just didn't want to be a pigeonholed, and he wanted to do his own thing. And if he felt like picking up an electric guitar, he was going to do it. And he did. And there's this part in the movie where he's at the Newport Folk Festival, I think it was, back in 1964. He comes out, everybody's expecting, you know, the little acoustic guitar, these nice little songs, and all of a sudden he's playing, you know, Maggie's Farm, and backstage, one of his mentors, Pete Seeger, is threatening to cut the power supply with an axe. So, you know, it's just, it was a very fascinating period for music. You know, it's just two disc set. It has a lot of extras on it, bonus performances or songs that were kind of cut short in the final cut of the movie. There's some extra interviews with people like Joan Baez, and like I said, it's probably one of the best rock documentaries you'll ever see. So Bob Dylan, No Direction Home, you gotta have it, no questions asked.
Sounds like a plan, I guess. So I'll have to pick that one up after hearing you talk about it so passionately.
Yeah, for about the last 20 minutes or so. Anyway, Shane, back to you. What was your fourth most favorite DVD of 2005?
Well, this time I'm going to TV on DVD, and as we all know with some TV series, if you don't start them at the beginning and catch them a couple of episodes in, or even start watching it in the middle, it's hard to get a following into the show. And this statement has never been more true than with the ABC Breakthrough series, Lost.
Yes,
so I'm
definitely
looking at Lost. Yeah, Lost, the complete first series, and having this on DVD is phenomenal. When the show first aired on television, I missed the first show and the second show due to work, and I ended up coming in three or four episodes in, and I was completely lost, if you'll pardon the pun. Now, with it being on DVD from Buena Vista Home Entertainment, I was able to sit down and start watching it. What I didn't realize is that I'd be sucked right into this series. Now, it was filmed in high def. Quality that we actually get on the DVD version has been downgraded a little bit, but I've never seen the TV series look so good.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And the audio, the 5.1 audio, is a lot better than what we hear in the through your television, which is obviously just a stereo version of the audio. The one thing I would have liked to have seen on this DVD, and it's unfortunate it's not there, is a commentary for each and every episode. We only get four of them, but there is a seventh disc that's just absolutely loaded with an incredible collection of bonus features. It kept me busy for hours just trying to go through this to write the review.
You know, I have a connection to the local ABC affiliate in my neck of the woods, and I remember seeing the pilot for this show and was just literally blown away from it. Or blown away by it. I was so blown away I can't talk. But it was probably the best first episode of any TV show that I had seen since another show called Alias. And who should produce both of these programs? None other than J.J. Abrams. So talk about a man that's got a creative buzz going on.
No kidding, and now he's even involved with Mission Impossible 3.
Exactly, yeah.
He's just everywhere right now. And I tell you, like going through the extras, seeing the auditions, everybody wanted to be Sawyer. Everybody, Jack, the guy who's playing Jack, which is Matthew Fox, I believe his name is, auditioned Mr. Garcia. I can't remember his first name right now. Also auditioned. He seemed to be the big character that everybody was going after.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about Hurley, right?
Yes, Hurley. Hurley. I can't remember his first name right now.
Okay. Okay.
Now, Jeff, we should throw things back at you. What was your fourth favorite DVD of 2005?
Well, my fourth most favorite DVD of 2005 is another great TV show from about two decades ago that took place at the Blue Moon Detective Agency, talking about none other than Moonlighting, the complete first and second seasons. I'll tell you, a show that grabbed me from the get-go. I remember I was coming back to my dorm room on a Sunday afternoon, 1985. I was reading in the paper. In the TV section looking for something to watch that night, and they had a really nice review of this comedy pilot for an upcoming show that was kind of a throwback to these screwball comedies of the 30s and 40s, like Bringing Up Baby and what have you. And it starred Cybill Shepherd and this unknown actor named Bruce Willis. And the chemistry between these two actors was just, I mean, it just sucked you in from the get-go. And I thought, how are they going to follow up this terrific pilot? Well, they did for the better part of 3 years, in between lots of fussing and fighting. And if anybody knows the back history of the show, show, they know that Moonlighting was just besieged with production problems, creative disagreements, Sybil Shepherd got pregnant, Bruce Willis broke his collarbone, Bruce Willis went on to be big-time movie action star and Die Hard, but, you know, all this in the first 2 years did not play much of a problem. These two seasons were probably where the show had its peak. I don't know. Have you seen Moonlighting before?
I have, and even though I was 9 years old when it first came out, the one thing that sticks out in my mind is them having an argument right in the front lobby and then running to their doors and slamming them both shut.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they slammed them so hard that they actually broke. So,
that doesn't surprise me. They were slammed pretty hard.
And another thing I loved about this particular set is the restoration. I don't know who worked on bringing these episodes back to life, but they look so much more colorful. Clarity is outstanding. It never looked this good on television, because I think you can agree that you've gotten some TV shows on DVD and you've been kind of disappointed by, you know, the end result.
For sure. There are some DVDs that have come back that actually look about the same as they were on TV, and you would have expected them to run a little bit of a restoration or a cleanup software or something over the video to try to get rid of some of those flaws that...
Exactly, yeah. And what it is that this particular set, with only a couple of exceptions, just a couple of episodes that were just maybe a tweety bit, you know, off color, or they had a little bit more grain or whatever, you know, they just looked fantastic. And I tipped my head off to Lionsgate. They did a superb job, and I cannot wait. Volume 3, which comes out, I think, on February 7th. I've been Shane, I believe it's time to throw it back to you. What's your number three?
My number three is, you can't really call it a remake, but it goes back to the roots, or the beginning, if you will, of a famed superhero known as Batman, and that would be Batman Begins. And I think Christopher Nolan has done a fantastic job on the movie himself. He brought Batman back closer to the comic books with its grittier, darker feel.
Now, absolutely.
The movie stars Christian Bale, who was absolutely fabulous as Batman and Bruce Wayne. He was able to pull off both personas really well. And there's, of course, a ton of other very big names in this movie. Gary Oldman, Michael Caine, Liam Neeson, Cillian Murphy, and Ken Watanabe, just to name a few, and so many people tried to get on board on this movie. It was just amazing. One thing I thought Warner Brothers did really well, and they're the ones who released this, was they released two separate editions. They released a single disc edition for the people that just wanted the movie and don't really care about a lot of extras, but they included a Batman spoof called Tankman Begins. That was the intro to the MTV Awards last year, I believe, and the theatrical trailer. But the second disc was put together so well, they made the menu an actual interactive comic book. So you go through the comic book and you could highlight certain words and select them, and they would take you to this specific extra feature. But one other thing they did is they hid a couple of Easter eggs in there for people who like those. Now, if you were lucky enough to pick up that two-disc edition early enough, you got a 72-page graphic novel and comic.
And that's right.
Yeah, and that comic book includes the three comics that are primarily responsible for the film's storyline, and that was Detective Comics number 37, which was the first appearance of Batman.
Yeah, collector's item right there.
Yeah, collector's item for sure, especially seeing they apparently got pulled off the shelf. Batman, the Man Who Falls, and Batman, The Long Halloween. So those three were responsible for the story, and David Goyer, who's also done the Blade franchise, was the one who wrote this, and I think he did a great job.
It didn't make my top 10, but I have to agree that it's one of the best sounding and best looking DVDs that I've seen. And I knew, you know, when we go to see movies at the local theaters nowadays, depending who's running the show or the management, you know, it either looks like, you know, it looks great or it looks like a piece of crap. But when I saw Batman Begins in the theater, I mean, it was just like, you know, perfect. And I can't imagine how much better this is going to be on DVD. And it is even better, you know, given the high standards of the theater that I went to see it in. Looks even better on DVD. It's just remarkable, especially the soundtrack.
For sure. Warner Brothers did a fantastic job on this DVD. I can't even really say there's any audio or video flaws at all. It kicked the crap out of my sound system, if you will. It was like Batman was coming through into my home theater room. It was just phenomenal. I gotta give them credit. Warner Brothers is probably, in my opinion, is the top studio from last year.
And I think we're gonna find that out for sure. You know, in my top three coming up here in just a second. You know, about the only thing that I could nitpick about the Batman Begins DVD is the fact that it didn't have a commentary track on it.
Yes, that is one thing that I wish would have been on there as well. Even if they just did some of the cast, it would have been nice. But to get in the mind of Christopher Nolan, who put this together, would have been amazing.
Right. Well, you know, maybe when Katie has her baby, we'll get that all straightened out. But anyway, enough about that. I guess it's my turn to go ahead. And about what did you think about Katie Holmes in Batman Begins? Just out of curiosity.
I think she was the only negative in the show.
Oh, really?
Her character convincing.
You know, the thing about her, she just has that baby face. You know, you just don't really, you know, even though she's tried to play older characters before, I mean, she still looks like a kid. You know, but just I thought this was probably her best film role to date. But you know, I don't want to say that she was the weakest part of it. I just don't think anybody could be weaker than Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin, but that's something we'll have to talk about another time. But my number three pick for 2005 is from, you know, Speak of the Devil, Warner Brothers. Their Gangsters box collection, six of the greatest movies ever to be made during the golden age of Hollywood. I have them right here in front of me. White Heat, The Roaring Twenties, The Petrified Forest, Little Caesar, Angels with Dirty Faces, and The Public Enemy. And if anybody had told me that we would be getting all six of these movies in a box, I would have said, oh yeah, in your dreams. And even when Home Theater Forum had a chat with Warner Brothers 2 years ago and had mentioned this as coming out, it was still, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, and it's just incredible. I mean, these films have never looked better. They've got hours of great extras on them, like making featurettes, commentary tracks. One thing, Shane, I don't know if you've seen any of Warner's movies that have, Warner DVDs that have Warner Night of the Movies, have you?
No, I have not come across any of those.
Well, what they do is that a couple of years ago they released, I think it was Treasure of the Sierra Madre, The Adventures of Robin Hood, and Yankee Doodle Dandy. And what they did, they gave you an option. You know, you could go directly into the menu to go directly to the movie, or you could go to this option called Warner Night at the Movies. Well, Shane, the Warner Night at the Movies feature, for those that are not familiar with this feature on classic films that Warner Brothers brings out, it's an option where you can click on that particular option and it will replicate a typical night of the movies, say in like 1937. Now, it's not like it is now where you have like, you know, commercials for soft drinks and, you know, computers and bubble gum and all that. Back then, you would get, say, two or three trailers for movies that are, you know, that were coming to the theater in due time. You'd get like a short feature presentation, a mini movie, you know, it would be about 20 minutes, maybe a musical oriented thing. You'd get a cartoon. You would maybe get another short subject, and then you would get the main theatrical feature, all that. And, you know, you don't have to do anything except kick up your feet and sit in front of your TV for about three and a half hours. And it's a great option, and I wish they would do it more often.
That does sound like something to look out for. I'm going to have to pick up some of those DVDs and check out that feature.
So have you seen any of these movies before? Cagney? You know, yeah. Now, Shane, I know you're just probably just a little bit younger than me, and you probably don't have the nostalgia for these films like I did when I was a kid and you know, grew up seeing them in a television world where back then we only had like three or four channels on, you know, to choose from. But just, have you seen any of these movies like White Heat or Angels with Dirty Faces or whatever?
I've seen bits and pieces of some of them, but I've never sat through any of them in their entirety.
I'll tell you, if I can recommend, you know, if somebody didn't want to pick up the entire set, it's got to be two, because I just can't, you know, take one without the other. It's Angels with Dirty Faces and White Heat with James Cagney, who's probably, you know, the best bad guy ever in the history of cinema. So bad that you loved him. And, you know, of course, White Heat, the infamous movie, you know, made it my top of the world, you know. And, you know, it's just such a kick to have all these movies in one Handy Box, it's Warner Brothers, Gangster's Collection. There's been many a list that I've looked at on bulletin boards like, you know, the Home Theater Forum, and many times on many a list of the top disc of 2005, many a DVD fan has put this at the top of the list, so just highly, highly recommend it. And about after that half-hour seminar, I'm going to turn it back over to you. What is your number three? Actually, I think we're up to number two now, right?
We are at number two now.
Okay, we are at number two on the countdown. And Shane, back over to you. What's your number two for 2005?
My number two is Sin City Recut and Extended. And the reason why this one made the number two is the first release of the film was basically just the film and one little extra feature, where this one here goes into so much more stuff. One thing that should be noted right off the bat, though, is if you picked it up in Canada, there is no DTS track like our friends south of the border, like yourself, Jeffrey, may have picked up. You got the DTS track, we didn't. We got a French 5.1 track. Now, one thing that I really liked is on the second disc is they showed each comic or graphic novel, if you will, in their entirety rather than mixing them up like they did throughout the movie, the original theatrical edition, where it started with Bruce Willis as Hartigan saving Nancy. It continued on through that whole part instead of, you know, going an hour and then coming back to that story. One other thing that was really, really neat was in Fast Forward, you could watch the entire movie with a green screen. So how they filmed it.
Oh, wow.
Green screen with color.
I did not know that. Now, I have the regular version, which I just sampled last night because, you know, we talked about what we were going to be presenting today before we started recording, and I noticed that you picked that particular disc, so I popped the regular, the pre-double dip version into my player last night, and I was just like blown away by it. I'm going to watch it almost immediately after we shut down here because I was just so impressed by it. But it actually has. Now, what you're saying is that there's like you can flip to the option and it's completely green screen. Is that throughout the entire movie?
Yeah, it's throughout the entire movie, but it's in fast forward, so they, you know, shortened it.
Right.
But they play it all with the green screen. The entire theatrical version, you can see it all done in green screen. Of course, you know, there's the standard featurettes with trailers, you know, the props and other features showing some of the characters. The one thing that's really exciting for a lot of people for this movie is to get the Hard Goodbye graphic novel with this set. One thing that I liked about this DVD as well was the menus. The menus are really neat. It comes from the comic book or the graphic novel and then morphs quickly into the scene from the movie that mirrors the exact scene from the comic. And as you know, this movie was filmed scene for scene like the comic. So what you see in the comic book is what you're going to see on the screen, just live action version, which is just, it's phenomenal. Like even just quickly looking at some of the pictures that you can find online,
right.
You can see when Hartigan first leaves jail, he walks out and there's the big shadow of the prison and the door and him standing in it. And then in the movie, it looks almost exactly the same except for there's motion. And it's just, it blows your mind to think that something from 2D pages could transfer so well into 3D world.
Now let me ask you this. Now, does it have the original version as well as the recut?
It does. On the first disc, it has the theatrical version.
Okay. Because, you know, I know a lot of people are probably a little ticked off that they're going to have to buy basically the same movie again. And it was my understanding or thinking that it would just be the recut version. But just, it sounds like there's an awful lot of Sin City DVDs probably on places like eBay right now. Because it just sounds like this is the version to buy rather than the original release.
This is the version to buy. And like myself, I couldn't wait. I bought the first one. I double dipped. But one thing I also like about this DVD is on the first disc, they have some commentaries, but they also have the audience reaction during one of the filmings.
Wow, that's cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, that is cool, but the one thing that kind of feels a little funny about it almost feels like you're watching a pirated movie because, you know, the camcorder guys are in there.
Right? Yeah, right.
So it's kind of, you know, it gives that feeling, but it is a very neat feature for sure.
Not that we would know anything about pirated movies or anything like that, so you know, just don't come hunting for us. You know, I don't know what that is. I have no idea. Anyhow,
I've only read about it.
But
so now we should
to be honest with you, I have seen a couple, and just it's not worth it. I mean, this is not like a plug for anti-piracy or anything like that, but just you know, you should always wait for the legitimate version to come out, because you know, who wants to watch something like, you know, anyway, let's not get into that. But you were going to be saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay, that's fine. But we were going to jump on to your number two DVD, and from what I understand, it's a good one.
Fabulous. Well, once again, number two, Shane, another Warner Brothers pick, and it's a DVD that's probably been the most requested title, perhaps, in the history of the format. And, of course, I am talking about the original 1933 version of King Kong, and boy, was it worth the wait. It's a two-disc special edition, as a lot of you know. The film has never looked better than it has right now. There's still just a little bit of jitteriness and all that, but that's inherent with films from that period. But other than that, I mean, there's hardly a speck to be found. They could not have done a better job. And the thing that really amazed me about this movie, and it's probably just a minor detail that only, you know, a film geek like I would notice, but at the end of the movie, I don't know if you've seen it. You've probably seen it on TV a couple of times, right?
I have seen the original. I actually did a study on it in high school, which is quite some time ago now.
We're not that long. But, yeah, well, but it, for me, yeah, you know, but at the end of the movie, when, and I hope I'm not spoiling this for somebody that hasn't seen the movie, but if you haven't seen it, tough, or just mute the sound or anything like that. At the end of the movie, when King Kong falls off the Empire State Building, there's always been kind of a, like a jump cut or just an edit of some sort that just didn't look right. Don't know how they managed to track down the original elements, but in this version, Kong falls in one complete motion. There's no jump cut. I've never seen it that way before, so, you know, that doesn't indicate how hard they worked on this movie. I don't know what does. And in addition to the movie, you also get on just to you get a documentary about the producer director Marion C. Cooper, who was quite the adventurer. In addition to his movie exploits. Matter of fact, it was on Turner Classic Movies about a month ago, and I had a chance to see it before I bought the disc, and it's just a terrific documentary. And if there's anything you've ever wanted to know about the movie, there's a 7-part documentary called RKO Productions 601, The Making of Kong, Eighth Wonder of the World. And to give you an idea of how detailed this documentary is, it's nearly 3 hours long.
Wow.
So, I mean, and a real treat for fans of Peter Jackson, and I think we do have a couple of Peter Jackson fans out there. He plays a major part in it, and as a lot of people know, those that read the movie magazines and what have you, they know that Peter Jackson is a King Kong fanatic, and he actually has some collectible pieces from the original film, like some of the stop-motion gizmos that they used to create the movie back in 1933. And now, one of the highlights of this documentary, RKO Productions 601, is an extended sequence. It's about 30 minutes long, where Peter Jackson and some of his equally talented cinematic cohorts got together and recreated a sequence of the original King Kong that was lost, called the Spider Pit sequence. And what they did, it just takes you through the whole process of how they managed to film new material and cut it into the original film. Well, it's not part of the original movie, so don't worry, they haven't tampered with it in any way. But what they did, just for the heck of it, they recreated the Spider Pit sequence with all the materials that they had on hand, like storyboards and what have you. And they just basically took some of the original footage from the film and this new footage that they shot, intercut it, and it looks, if you weren't looking for it or being nitpicky for it, you couldn't tell the difference. I mean, it's that good.
Wow. I'm definitely going to have to pick it up. I was hoping to get it for my birthday, seeing it came out right around that time. Fortunately, I didn't. Instead, I ended up with what's going to be my number one title.
I think we've got some kind of ESP thing going on today, Shane. I think that we may have picked the same movie for our top disc of the year, and we may not have to throw it back to me again. So what is your number one disc of 2005?
My number one disc is a film that has captured the hearts and imaginations of multiple generations since its release. And in 2005, once again, Warner Brothers has put together one fantastic package and amazing restoration of The Wizard of Oz.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Complete agreement. I was looking at this the other day, and I was looking at the restoration documentary. And, you know, you've seen one of those before. You know, we've all seen, like, you know, dozens of them, you know, where we clean this up and all that. It is just amazing what they did for this film, taking out every blemish and also going back and double checking to make sure that they didn't erase something that was supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the clarity. One thing that really makes me happy, Shane, about this particular release is because I went to see the 98 re-release when Warner Brothers put it back in the theaters, and there just seemed to be something off about it. It just didn't look the way it did, the way I remembered it on television or what have you. Just the color seemed to be off, and they also window boxed it, which just looked really kind of weird. It looked like you were watching a TV in the theater, and it just didn't work for me. So to just have them go back again and go through a fine spit and polish routine, the company, Lowry, I think is the name of the company. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Okay, wonders with Gone with the Wind and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and this is probably the best effort I've seen from these folks yet. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. It's just amazing what they went through. Like, even to restore, or not even restore, but upgrade and expand the audio to a 5.1 mix. Now, obviously, it's not going to be anything close to any, you know, recent that's come out on DVD, but to take it and still make it sound so much clearer and better than it originally sounded is just, it's amazing.
And that's not all. I mean, you know, if you get the 3-disc version, which I'm sure that's the one you picked up, right?
That is the one I have.
Yeah, I mean, just it could have been just the movie, but I'll tell you, let's go back to the 1998 version, the home video version. It was fine. But the thing is, I think the image of the movie, which at that time hadn't been restored, was everything was packed on one disc. You had, like, the movie, and then you had, like, a couple of documentaries. You had some short subjects. You had about 6 hours of musical material. I mean, even on a dual-layer disc, that's a heck of a lot of stuff for, you know, to put on one disc and have the image compromised.
The one thing that amazes me about the restoration, and I do own the original DVD, is that I always thought Julie Garland was a brunette. And seeing this restoration, I've discovered that not only is she not a brunette, she's a redhead, and you can see the freckles on her face.
Yeah,
I never noticed that before.
And there's another thing. I heard them comment on this in the restoration part of the disc, and one of the technical people said that you could actually see the rivet in the middle of the Tin Man's head. For the very first time.
I never noticed that. I mean, to go back and look.
It's like, you know, this movie's been around for, you know, nearly 70 years, and to have something like that jump out at you after, and we all watched it when we were kids, you know, it was on once a year, and that's another thing. There's a documentary in here, and there are several documentaries on the second disc that are just simply fantastic. Because of the wonderful things it does, the legacy of Oz, what they did in this particular documentary is when they were going back through the history of the movie and how it became so popular via television, is that they put the sequences, the color sequences, on these TV graphics, you know, like a typical TV at the time, and they not only decolorized the color segments, but they also had, like, interference, like you would get with rabbit ears. You know, these were the days before cable and all that, you know. And just, I thought that was just a really neat touch, you know, kind of a nostalgic thing for me because, you know, I grew up watching the movie when it was on NBC. And it was, you know, it's not like, you know, it was an event back in those days. I mean, it was only on once a year, probably around the springtime. It wasn't on three different cable channels at different times of the year. You know, there was no home video back then, you know, unless you were lucky enough to have like a projector and access to a film.
Even back in the early 80s, I can remember it only being on once a year, up until probably the late 80s when it got released on VHS for the first time.
Right. And, you know, one thing, every version of this film, no matter what package it's been in, VHS or whatever, DVD, it's always been a perennial bestseller. And I cannot, if that doesn't attest to the timelessness of this movie, I don't know what does.
Well, I can tell you that last year I sat down with the original DVD and I watched it for the first time with my daughter, who was only 2 at the time, and she fell in love with the movie.
So any other features that stand out for you in this mother load of a package here?
Well, the one thing I should mention again is for some reason, up in Canada, Warner Brothers left off the 1933 Wizard of Oz cartoon.
Yeah, I remember reading that. Your reviewer, who reviewed this movie for you on
it
the
was
site?
Jonathan. Jonathan reviewed it for us.
Big hi to Jonathan out there, by the way.
Yeah, and that was the one thing that he was disappointed with, seeing as it was listed inside of the Digipack that it would be on there, and when he was going through the discs and didn't find it, he was pretty upset because he likes to get everything that was announced for the DVD.
Don't we all?
Yeah, so thanks to him, I was able to get mine from south of the border, so I have the complete set. And I rub it in frequently, like I am again, Jonathan.
I mean, for the completest, I mean, you know, what other thing could you do? I'll tell you another thing I loved about this package is the commentary from John Fricke. John Fricke, by the way, for those of you who do not know, is a Wizard of Oz. Well, let's just call him a fan's. He's been collecting memorabilia from this film, as well as Judy Garland memorabilia, for I think the upwards of maybe the last 40 years or so. And if there's anybody that knows about the history of this film, it's John Fricke. So I cannot recommend, you know, a lot of people, they can take or leave commentary tracks, but if you listen to one commentary track this year, you got to listen to this one, because you'll just find out so much back history. It's got archival interviews with several members of the cast, Margaret Hamilton, Ray Bolger, the Tin Man, Jack Haley. It's just amazing, and it's almost as entertaining as the movie itself. So big tip of the hat to John Fricke. And by the way, another shameless plug for John. I think it's still in print, and it may be under a different title. The version that I have is the 50th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz, and it's probably packed with more information than you'll ever want to know about the history of the movie, all the comic books, or the L. Frank Baum novels, just everything. So if you want a handy little book supplement to complement this package right here, definitely pick up John's book, The 50th Anniversary of The Wizard of Oz, probably under another title at the moment, but if you can do an Amazon search or something like that, you'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. So there we go, our number one pick, our mutual number one pick for the top DVD of 2005, the 3-disc version of The Wizard of Oz.
Can't get much better than that.
So I'm going to go ahead and give you the rest of my top 10 in no particular order. Again, another Warner Brothers masterpiece, the Controversial Classics Collection, the latest edition of Looney Tunes, Volume 3, A Concert for Bangladesh, the granddaddy of all rock and roll concerts. If you're a Beatles fan, George Harrison fan, no excuse for you to not pick this up. Lost, the complete first season, which was your number 4. And number 10, well, I said I wasn't going to do this in numerical order. Well, what the hell? I don't care. Anyway, Desperate Housewives, the complete first season. And I think I'm done, Shane. I think I'll turn it over to you, bud.
My honorable mentions, I've got Star Wars Episode 3 and the 2 Clone Wars DVDs. The Clone Wars DVDs, of course, come in between Episode 2 and 3 and show how Grievous ends up with his wrath. But having Episode 3 to wrap up the saga is just... it's a Star Wars fan's dream to have all the Star Wars movies. And, of course, I've got the Fuzzy Kermit package for The Muppet Show Season 1, the Toy Story 2.
Yeah, I was going to mention to you, you know, we talked about this before we came on, and it's like, you know, it's a good release, but just some of the material was cut for, I guess, you know, rights
copyright
reasons.
Yeah.
And that was about the only downer about that, but just what's left is absolutely terrific, and I love it too.
Oh, I'm just glad they have the whole manama in there.
Exactly.
I asked That's somebody. My favorite skit.
Yeah, I know. I asked somebody, I think the name of the song is Season in Hell, but of course they couldn't say that on a Muppet show. But I remember this DJ I worked with a long time ago, I asked him, so what's the name of that song? He goes, Manamana. Thanks, you're a big help, sir. And it took me years to find out exactly what the proper title is. But if anybody's looking for a copy of it, it's called Season in Hell. So there you go. Now, you were saying Toy Story?
Yeah, the Toy Story 2-disc special edition.
Now, what's different about that?
Well, you wouldn't think it could actually get any better, but they actually did it somehow. I'm not sure exactly what they did to pull it off, but the DVD looks way better than any of the previous releases. I have them all, and it blew me away. I couldn't believe the difference. Even the audio sounded different. They remixed it to give it that quality, because it did sound a lot better than it did in the original releases.
And, the original release was, a lot of people at the time were saying, this is the standard, this is the demo disc, so I can't believe that it sounds better than it actually did back then.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted.
My credit card really thanks you, Shane. I really appreciate that. Anyway, any others that you can think of?
Well, I only have one more title, and it's not really the DVD that stands out. It's the movie for me, and that is Serenity.
Course, I've been hearing so much about that. Now, that's that was based on the TV show Firefly, right?
Correct, yeah, off the ill-fated series Firefly. And when I got the Firefly series to review, I started watching it the first episode. I was like, well, this is all right. Got into the second episode, and I was hooked. I watched the whole series in one day, which isn't a lot of episodes. And then when the movie was announced, I was just so excited. I couldn't wait. It was probably my most anticipated movie of the year after Batman. And I loved it from beginning to end. It's probably my second favorite movie from last year.
I've actually had a chance to look at the first 20 minutes of it the other night at a friend's house, and it looks really, really impressive, and I'm going to have to pick it up myself. I don't see how Joss Whedon can do no wrong. I mean, as a matter of fact, didn't he co-write the original Toy Story?
He did co-write the original Toy Story.
I mean, I can't wait to see what he comes up with next, I know he's working on some Buffy. Little non-DVD talker right quick here, but I hear he's working on a series of Buffy novels, and I think he's also connected to the Wonder Woman movies. So everything he seems to touch turns out like gold. So I'm really looking forward to what he comes up with in the future. There we go.
Yeah, and the one thing I have to mention is if you haven't seen Firefly yet, pick it up before you see Serenity. Although Serenity does stand alone as a movie, you'll care for the characters more if you see the series.
So it's a good idea to kind of get familiar with the back history and all that, right?
It is, yeah. And then you'll understand one complaint that I heard from a lot of people is here they are flying around spaceships and they're still using, guns with gunpowder and triggers and instead of laser guns and stuff like that. And they kind of alluded to it during the series.
Right.
And that's pretty much the only thing I have left to say about my favorite DVDs from last year.
And there you have it, our favorite DVDs of the year 2005. Now, before we wrap up, I got a couple things I want to talk about. I want to talk about Shane's excellent I Crave DVD website, but I also want to mention, if you're interested in possibly advertising on the show, the DVD Marquee, contact us at dm@icravedvd.com. That's dm@eycravedvd.com. Okay, Shane, before we parted company today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your website. Basically, this is how Shane and I got to know one another. He was looking for a writer for his site. I looked at the site, really was impressed with what he had to offer, and I'm going to let you pick up from there. How did this whole adventure for you start?
Shortly after getting married, I got my first DVD player and surround sound system and fell in love with the medium. I'd always been an avid fan of films and tried to start up websites in the past for just movie reviews. Well, on the web and found all these other sites that had DVD reviews on them, I decided, well, hey, I can do that. So I started contacting studios, asking them just for press releases, and next thing I started receiving screeners in the mail. So we're almost 5 years later, and the site has grown by leaps and bounds. We have a huge amount of talent on our writing staff now, and everything is moving forward just the way any website would like to go.
And, of course, the podcast is a natural progression of advancing forward, not only for yourself, but myself as well.
Correct. This is something that you'd approached me about, and I was thinking about it as well. And when you first came on board, we decided to go ahead and see what we could make of it. And here we are now, recording our first one.
Yeah, and we hope it's the first of many to come. And I understand there's more to the website than just reviews. You've got like a forum for people to, you know, talk about discs and equipment and stuff like that, much like HTF, right?
We do. We do have some forums. We have a large list of Easter eggs, which we're going to expand shortly. I'm currently in the midst of redesigning the whole website to make it more user-friendly, more user-interactive, and just add all kinds of new feature to it. Of course, the DVD marquee being one of the key ones.
Yeah, and I just want to thank Shane very much for offering to host my companion website, which will be reactivated very soon. I'm probably going to be doing like classic movie reviews, movies that we don't get a chance to review on the show here, my thoughts on the industry, and speaking of which, I want to take this moment to pose a question to you and our listening audience out there, something that kind of hit me when I was reading an Entertainment Weekly issue a few weeks ago. They were wondering if the box office slump of 2005 was caused by too short of a window of theatrical films going to home video or the DVD format. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it partially contributed to the poor box office results last year. You have movies coming out, and then 3 months, 4 months down the road, they're out on DVD. And then everybody is kind of disappointed because it's just a quick release, and then they get special editions out a little later. I think it just discouraged people from going to see films knowing that it would be out shortly on DVD.
And what I can't understand is, you know, we've had some pretty good movies, or we had some pretty good movies come out in 2005. I mean, I was watching the Ebert show a few weeks ago, and he thought that 2005 was one of the best years for movies in a long, long time. So it's just kind of a question I wanted to pose not only to you, but to all of you listening out there in podcast land. What do you think? Do you think that the window should be a little bit longer, like maybe 6 months? Possibly a year like the old days? Send us your thoughts at dm@icravedvd.com. And in the subject line, release window. And what we'll do, we'll go ahead and take some of your emails. We'll read them all, I promise. But we'll read your emails and comment on them on our next show, which should be coming up in about a couple of weeks, fingers crossed. But for right now, I want to thank Shane McDonald, my co-host. Shane, thank you very much. I'm excited about our second show. I hope you are too.
I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we should get some good response.
Yeah, we're so excited that we don't even know what the heck we're going to review yet, but we'll work on that in the meantime. But for right now, thank you so much for taking time to listen to our debut episode. We know there are a trillion podcasts out there, and we're just tickled pink that you took time to listen to ours. Also want to thank the Home Theater Forum, iCraveDVD.com. This has been episode 1 of the DVD Marquee. I'm your host, Jeff Rosato. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.